Exodus chapter 7. Chapters 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and 13 are all about the plague, the 10 plagues. They're stories, they're narratives that Moses has written to us. They're not the type of stories, you know, once upon a time type of stories, all with a happy ending. And these aren't just stories about God conveying Israel's history to us. As we see in the text before that we're going to read today in a little bit, God gives us character. God gives us stories. He gives us narratives to reveal to us His character and His plans. God is revealing us through His Word things that we would never discover on our own. Theologians call that special revelation. God, by His Holy Spirit, supernaturally enabled certain men, chosen by Him, by His grace, and they were carried along by the Holy Spirit of God, and they were told to record truths about God in His Word. Things we would never discover on our own. That is special revelation. Special in the sense that it revealed to certain men who wrote it down in the Bible. There's also theologians call it general revelation. What is general revelation? Well, general revelation are truths about God that are known by everybody through both our conscience and creation. Everybody is revealed that. It wasn't just special men. It was nature. Nature reveals to us certain characteristics about God, His power, His wisdom. But we don't know everything about God through creation. And so God carried along certain men to write down in His Word. In the text before us today, we're going to see that Moses clearly articulates that the story of the plagues, the 10 plagues, the 10 judgments of God, were written for an express purpose that we might know God. That's one of the reasons God writes, gives to us the 10 plagues. Actually, that Israel might know God. Go with me to Exodus chapter 6. This was last week, or 2 weeks ago. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. This is what God says via Moses. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God wants His people to know that through the plagues, He is their God. These 10 judgments that He brings upon Egypt and Pharaoh. Later on, next week, in chapter 10, He says that the people of Israel are going to reveal this also to their sons and their grandsons and subsequent generations. So God wants, through the plagues, to reveal to Israel that He alone is God. But He not only wants Israel to know that, He also wants the Egyptians to know that. Exodus chapter 7, verse 5. This is what God's word says there. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. See that? The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. So Israel will know that Yahweh is God. The Egyptians will know the Lord. But not only Egyptians in general, the Pharaoh specifically. Exodus chapter 7, verse 17. We're going to do it a little bit different this morning. I'm going to preach a little bit, and then we're going to read. We're going to read to conclude the message, okay? And we're going to read a large portion. I debated whether or not we're going to do this, but every time I debate whether or not we're going to read large portions of God's Word, I always come to the same answer, yes. It's God's Word. So we're going to read chapter 7 and 8 today. Then you're going to follow along with me. It's going to take us about 15 minutes. Next week we're going to read 9 and 10. But in Exodus chapter 7, verse 17, thus says the Lord, and He's talking to Pharaoh, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and it shall turn into blood. So God wants Pharaoh to know that he is God. After all, Pharaoh has said in chapter 5, verse 2, who is the Lord that I should obey him? God is going to make it perfectly clear to Pharaoh who the Lord is. Exodus chapter 8, verse 10, God said, tomorrow, Moses said, but it is as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. So God wants, through the plagues, through these 10 judgments, to let Israel, to let Egypt, to let Pharaoh know that he is the Lord. And consequently, he wants us to know who God is. What is it specifically that God wants to know, wants us to know about him that is revealed in the 10 plagues? Let's pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly before your word, help you to be faithful. Lord, reveal to us your character and your plan in the 10 acts of judgment against Egypt and Pharaoh. Reveal to us what we could never discover on our own by the indwelling spirit that you have given to all those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, I'm going to summarize from the text briefly some of the truths that I believe are fundamental to the narrative that Moses gives us in Exodus 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Like I said, today will be just chapters 7 and 8. Next week will be 9 and 10. First one, and this is in no matter of importance, in no particular order in the text, but the first item, first truth that God wants us to know about himself is that the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the second person of the triune God, is the Savior of his people. Over and over in the text, we see that one of God's ultimate purposes in these plagues, in these 10 acts of judgment, is to reveal himself to his people, to Egypt, to Pharaoh, to us, as the deliverer of his people. God is the Savior of the people of Israel. He will free them from slavery, and he will deliver them into the land flowing with milk and honey. These great acts of judgments recorded in God's word against Egypt are in the text for the stated purpose of letting us know that God is Israel's Redeemer. God alone is Israel's Savior. God alone is Israel's Deliverer. God alone guarantees the salvation of his people. He is the only one capable of saving his people from Egypt and delivering them to the promised land. Certainly, it's not going to be Moses and Aaron. One of the points of the first previous chapters is to describe to us the inadequacies and the weaknesses of Moses and Aaron as saviors, as deliverers. They're incapable of doing it. They are weak, frail, fragile men. Look what God says about his salvation in chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people. I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. God is Israel's Savior. He is their Redeemer. He is their Deliverer. Over and over, as we read the text, you will see this refrain, let my people, what? Go. This deliverance, this salvation, this redemption of Israel from bondage in Egypt is a theme that repeats itself over and over in the book of Exodus. But not only Exodus. in Numbers and Deuteronomy and Leviticus, all throughout the first five books of the Bible, God reminds His people that He is their Savior. He alone. God smites Egypt for a reason. To bring deliverance, salvation for His people. God smiting Egypt is the basis for everything that God does with Israel throughout their history. Over and over again, the Israelites in the Word of God will be taken back to this event in their history. In fact, it's the basis for the Ten Commandments. Go with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. This is at the base of Mount Sinai. God is ready to give His Word, His Ten Commandments. But it's based upon His redemption, His salvation of Israel. Verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then He tells them, because you are my people, because I have saved you, because I have delivered you, because I have redeemed you from bondage, from Egypt, because of my great acts of justice against Egypt, this is how you should act. But it's not only found in the Pentateuch. It's found throughout all Scripture. Go with me to Joshua 24, verse 5. Joshua 24, verse 5. The people have entered the land. Joshua is reviewing the nation's history to the generation of Jews in the land, this promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. He says this in verse 5. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterwards, I brought you out. You notice how God's judgment against Egypt is synonymous with His deliverance of Israel. God smites Egypt with the express purpose of communicating to all that He alone is Savior. In 1 Samuel, go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel is the last judge that God places over Israel. There's a time of judgment, judges, about 300 years. Samuel is the last in the succession of judges before the first king, which would have been Saul. 1 Samuel, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 8. When Jacob went into Egypt, and the Egyptians oppressed them, then your fathers cried out to the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. Once again, the Exodus reveals to us that God alone is the Savior of Israel. God smites Egypt to bring salvation to His chosen people, His family. Near the end of the Old Testament, all the way at the very end, Nehemiah, I know it's not at the end of your New Testament, Old Testament Bible, but it is chronologically. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 9. So at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end, God rehearses that the 10 acts of judgment for not only to bring judgment on Egypt, but to show the Israel that He is their Savior. Chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 of Nehemiah. And you saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heard their cry at the Red Sea, talking to God, and performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, the 10 acts of judgment, and all his servants, and all the people of his land, for you knew they acted arrogantly against our fathers, and you made a name for yourself as it is today. God's acts of judgment against Egypt for the express purpose of declaring to Israel and to all the world that God alone is Savior. God is known through the plagues as Deliverer, Redeemer, and Savior. Beginning, end, and the middle, and every place else in the New Testament. Psalms, over and over again, the psalmist will declare the acts of judgment are because God is Israel's Savior. Psalms Psalm 106, verse 21 says this, they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. And over again, the people forget that the Exodus, the 10th great act of judgment against Egypt, was for the express purpose of them remembering that God alone is Savior. So, that's one thing, as we read the text, I want you to keep on thinking about. God smites his enemies for the salvation of his people. God smites his enemies for the salvation of his people. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I know we're thumbing along a lot here in the Bible, but hey. That's good, isn't it? Isn't it good? Okay. Isaiah 53, 4. This is Isaiah the prophet's description of the Savior, not only of Israel, but of the world. God smites his enemies for the salvation of his people, Israel. But look who else God smites. Surely he has borne our griefs. Who would that be? Jesus Christ himself. A better Israel. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. God smote Egypt for the salvation of Israel, but God smote his son for the salvation of the world, for you and me. What great love. Jesus suffered in our place. He was bruised for our iniquities, not for his own. And he was smitten by God for your iniquities and mine. Who is our only Savior? Jesus Christ himself. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is an impossible task for any of us. We cannot be saved. Our situation is far more desperate than the Israelite situation in Egypt. Moses was totally incapable. Moses is totally incapable of delivering Israel from Egypt's bondage. 2 million people, and not only deliver them, but to take them all the way to the promised land. Only God could do that himself. And our situation is even far more desperate than that. And God made a provision for us, didn't he? And he made it in the only person that could save us, and that was his son, Jesus Christ. God himself smote his son on yours and my behalf. What great love that is for us. Amen? We cannot do it on ourselves. It is the grace of God. And it was the grace of God that delivered Israel from Egypt. It wasn't because they were more worthy than the Egyptians. God, what? Shows mercy on whom he will show mercy. These great acts of judgment against the Pharaoh and Egypt were for the express purpose of saving his people and reminding us that there is no salvation apart for anybody else except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we read this text together, remember that. Over and over, Moses will highlight that point to us. But it's not the only purpose that the text reveals to us. It's not the only thing that plagues, the 10 acts of judgment will teach us about the character of God. It also teaches us that God is absolutely sovereign. God alone is absolutely sovereign. God alone is king. God alone is in control of all things. He is the Lord. All capital letters. God is sovereign. Clearly in the plagues we're going to see that God has control over all of creation. Over the waters of the Nile. He turns the Nile into what? Blood. That volume of water he turns into blood. Not something that looked like blood. It wasn't red clay that because of the rains and stuff, it made it look like blood. He turned that volume of water. Who can do that? God alone. And in the plague today, we're going to see that he does that with frogs, too. Frogs infest the land. You know how long it takes from a frog to lay its little egg, and it goes into a polywog, and then it, you know, turns into a frog. You know how long that takes? Anybody? Anybody a scientist? It takes up to about 21 days. But in an instant, in a moment, God infects the land with frogs. He creates millions and millions of frogs to cover the whole land. God is sovereign over His creation. Gnats and flies and darkness and hail and disease and death. God is sovereign over everything in creation. God is King. Read the last three chapters of Job this afternoon and see how God is sovereign over His creation. The lightning. Every single one of them, God knows exactly where it's going to start and where it's going to end. You know, when you wake up in the morning, all those drops of dew that fall from the grass, God knew about every single last one of them. He knew when they were dropped. He knew where they would drop on every single blade of grass in the world. God is sovereign. God isn't performing magic tricks like the sorcerers and the magicians of Egypt. These are massive. Only God can do wonders, for God demonstrates to all the world His power and His sovereignty and His control over this world. God is still in control. Did you know that? It may seem like He isn't sometimes in our world, but He is in control of all things. That you can take to the bank. And the plagues tell us that. They scream to us that God is in control. But He's not in the plagues, only in control of nature. God is demonstrating something else His control, He exerts control over. He exerts control over all the false gods of Egypt. All the false gods of this world. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to get there in a couple of weeks. Go with me to Exodus chapter 12. Look what God says in regard to the tenth plague. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And then in Numbers 33, you don't have to go there, so let me just read it to you. Verse 4, while the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had struck down among them, on their gods also the Lord executed judgment. God wants Egypt to know. God wants Israel to know. God wants the generations to follow to know. God wants us to know that He alone is sovereign and king. God lays waste to all the deities in Egypt. Every single one of the plagues undermines, destroys, demolishes all the gods of Egypt. The sun god with the darkness. The Nile god with the blood in the river. Every single god is destroyed by our sovereign God. No wonder that the first commandment that God gives to His people in light of His salvation of them is what? What's our first commandment, Lillian? No other god. Right, Nolan? No other god. I alone am God. I am the sovereign. I am the ruler. I am the king. Not Pharaoh, not his gods that he serves. But the text also points out to us that God's sovereign control has no limits, not even the heart of a human man. God controls our hearts. It says over and over again that Pharaoh's heart was hardened by God. We read that in the beginning of the sermon, Romans chapter 9. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show you the end view, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whoever he wills and hardens whoever he wills. God says to Pharaoh in chapter 9, by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people, and you will not let them go. God is sovereign even over Pharaoh's heart. Although God hardened Pharaoh's heart, the text also tells us that Pharaoh hardened his own heart against God and justice. One more thing before we begin reading this passage. God is not only sovereign, he is not only Savior, but God alone is to be worshipped. And we'll see that again. Over and over again in the text, salvation of Israel, the plagues are for the express purpose of creating a nation of worshipers. Over and over again, God says through Moses, let my people go so that they may what? Worship me. God is creating a nation who wants to worship God for his deliverance, for his salvation. And the applications for us are the same. God is creating worshipers. Every time we share Christ with the world and that person responds in faith, God has one more worshiper that will cast all of his crowns at Jesus' feet. In Revelation, all nations, not just Israel, all nations, all tongues, and God is doing that through the plagues. So remember that as I begin reading this particular section of God's words, chapters 7 and 8. God alone is Savior, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will remind you as you see phrases and verses. God alone is sovereign, and God alone is to be worshipped. And we're going to talk a lot more about all of these as we proceed through the book of Exodus. Okay? So, Exodus chapter 7, let me begin reading. You can remain seated. And at the end, I will say, this is God's word, and you will agree with me by saying what? Amen. And then we'll sing a few songs before we head out. Exodus chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command to you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my host, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them. Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to the Pharaoh. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourself by working a miracle, and then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same by their secret art. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Still Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he is going out to the water. Stand on the bank of the Nile to meet him, and take in your hand the staff that turned into a serpent. And you shall say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But so far you have not obeyed. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, with the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water that is in the Nile, and I shall turn into blood. The fish in the Nile shall die, and the Nile will stink, and the Egyptians will grow weary of drinking water from the Nile. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the rivers, the canals, and their ponds, and all the pools of water, so that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, even in the vessels of wood and in the vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. In the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, he lifted up his staff and struck the water in the Nile, and all the water in the wild Nile turned into blood. And the fish in the Nile died, and the Nile stank, so that the Egyptians could not drink water from the Nile. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. But the magicians of Egypt did the same by their secret arts. So Pharaoh's heart remained hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Pharaoh turned and went into his house, and he did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile for the water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the Nile. 7 full days passed that the Lord had struck the Nile. Chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will plague all your country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs that shall come up in your house and into your bedroom and on your bed and into the houses of your servants and your people and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and all your servants. And the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the canals, and over the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same thing by their secret arts, and made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, plead with the Lord to take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Moses said to Pharaoh, Please be pleased to command me when I am to plead for you and for your servants and for your people, that the frogs may be cut off from you and your houses and be left only in the Nile. And he said, tomorrow. Moses said, be it as you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall go away from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile. So Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord about the frogs as he agreed with Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff, strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt. And they did so. And Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by the secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on beasts and man. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send you swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people, and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen. And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarm of flies. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God within the land. But Moses said, it would not be right for us to do so. For the offerings we shall sacrifice to the Lord our God are an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice offerings abominable to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not stone us? We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he tells us. So Pharaoh said, I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you must not go very far away. Plead for me. Then Moses said, behold, I'm going out from you, and I will plead with the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servant, and from his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh cheat again by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did as Moses asked, and removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also and did not let the people go. This is God's word. Amen. Far ahead. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these holy words given to us, written by Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to reveal to us your character and your plan. Lord, you alone, our Savior, you alone are sovereign, and you alone are worthy of our worship. Remind us of these things this week. Continue to pray for those who are suffering right now. Pray specifically for Audrey and Lloyd. Lord, take care of them as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.